What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get into things, I did just drop a new music video for my single, I Be On It, featuring the homie Josh Morton and directed by my homie Nahar Media. Check it out on my official website, katietrop.net, or on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/katietrop. And check it out. It's a fun little video I had fun making. So check it out when you get a chance if you feel like it. Anyways, let's get into baseball and the Trop 10 MLB Power Rankings for this week. We have two teams that have hit the 80 wins mark. So let's get into it. They are the top two teams right now, and number one still remains the Milwaukee Brewers. Overall record of 81-50. They were actually the first team to 80 wins this past week. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Seattle Mariners and the Atlanta Braves. And actually, in that series against the Braves, Jacob Mizorowski outdueled Chris Sale. I mean, that just says a lot. I mean, the guy's been mowing everybody down. I mean, at this point, it's like, he's pretty much got that Cy Young Award in the bag at this point. And I mean, we go up toe-to-toe against Chris Sale. And they both pitched great, but just Miz got the better of them in that one. And that's just kind of how the Brewers are doing. They are just consistently winning. Like I keep saying, they are beating good teams. They are beating mediocre teams. They are beating the shitty teams. They are beating everybody. And they aren't falling apart. They really haven't had any type of losing streak this season of that makes you go, oh my God, they've lost it, and they're absolutely going to win their division. And they've been the most solid team in baseball all year. But it'll be interesting once we hit the playoffs and see if that remains. But right now, they are the top team in the league. Then at number two on my Trop 10 MLB power rankings, here they are again. I knew they weren't going to be at the bottom for a while, and that's because it's the Dodgers. Overall record of 80-51, so they just hit that 80-win mark this week as well. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they swept the series against the Rockies and swept the series against the Pirates, so they just kept on winning this week. Unfortunately, though, Andy Páez, he's been probably their most their most regular hitter all season. I mean, he really hasn't had a bad game. He hasn't really had a bad slump. He's pretty much just been in it all season. And unfortunately, he got hit with a ball and broke his hand. So he's definitely going to be out. It looks like not for the entire regular season, but I don't know. I mean, we're only about a month out from the playoffs. So we'll see how long Páez is out. But that's a huge blow to their offense. But then on the positive side, of course, Shohei Ohtani looks like he's probably going to pitch again in the regular season. He's been throwing some bullpen sessions, so that usually means he's probably going to start again. But I don't know. Those bullpen sessions might just be to kind of get him ready for the playoffs. But still, even so, there's a good chance we're going to be seeing him starting at pitching again. And it's no shock here. The Dodgers are at 80 wins, and they're playing great baseball. And it doesn't matter how many of their guys get injured. I mean, who's coming back? Pitcher. Oh, God. Can't remember. They're getting another starting pitcher. Glasnow. That's right. They're getting Glasnow back. So it's like they lose somebody, they always get somebody back. And when it always kind of feels like whenever that person comes back, they are 10 times better than before. So we'll see what happens here, but it's going to be interesting to see if this Páez injury does take a little bit of the wind out of their sails offensively, but as we know, the Dodgers usually overcome all of that. Then at number three on my Trop 10 MLB power rankings are the Philadelphia Phillies. Overall record of 73-58. They are 9-1 in their last 10 games, and they are currently on a 9-game winning streak, which is why they have shot up the power rankings these last couple of weeks. This past week, they swept the Miami Marlins and the St. Louis Cardinals. Kyle Schwarber had an amazing weekend, but also had a great walk-off win over the Cardinals yesterday, I believe it was. And so this Phillies team is just really putting it together. And their rookie, who they called up earlier this season, Andrew Painter, he started the season off terribly. I mean, his ERA was just so skyrocket high. So they had to send him back down to the minors, but it actually worked out in their favor because ever since they called him back up a couple of weeks ago, he's really actually been on point and looking like what they expected when he first came up. But I mean, that's just kind of what happens when you are a farm system dude. Sometimes you come up and you just take a shit, and then you get you realign yourself back in the minors, and then you come back up to the majors, get your chance again, and then you just show out like Painter's doing right now. And that's a good thing for them because that gives them a little bit more depth at the starting pitching position as well, especially once the playoffs roll around, because they're definitely going to need that. Then at number four in my top 10 MLB power rankings of the San Diego Padres, overall record of 71-60. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series to the New York Mets, but took the series over the Minnesota Twins. And Fernando Tatis, he is looking like he is the old Fernando Tatis. He had, I think, 4 home runs over the week. I know he was the player of the week. He had 2 home runs in one of the games against the Twins, and he has been lightning with his defense lately. I mean, he has been taking away home runs from multiple guys as of late. It's not even just over the weekend. Made a huge play, but he's been making huge plays defensively for a good chunk of the season. Just some really out-of-control plays. And so it's really kind of crazy to see. I still expect the Padres to do what the Padres do, and that is fail in the end. But right now they are riding high on a nice little winning streak here, but I doubt they're going to catch up to the Dodgers. But they could keep on dreaming, but I doubt it's going to happen. But right now, they are on fire, and we'll see if they'll be able to keep it up through the postseason. Then at number 5 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Tampa Bay Rays. Overall record of 77-53. They are 3-7 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series to the Toronto Blue Jays and lost a series to the Baltimore Orioles. Those are their division rivals. And so that takes the wind out of their sails, even though they still have a nice lead over the Yankees. Losing to your division rivals is just never what you want to do, especially get swept in, I think it was the Orioles series that they got swept in. But they just did not have a good week. But even with that said, they'll probably bounce back next week and have a really solid week. But who knows? But like I said, this is the best team in the American League, and they are kind of looking a little shaky right now. Then at number 6 in my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Chicago Cubs. Overall record of 75-56. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Chicago White Sox and lost the series to the Seattle Mariners. But even though they lost the series to the Mariners, they did have a huge game over the weekend, a 19-run game in which they won 19-2, one of their biggest victories of margins in Chicago Cubs history. Says a lot because they've been around a million years. But I will say, since they're 4-6, got to point out that Dansby Swanson has been injured throughout that whole time. And, you know, you wouldn't think that he would be such a big deal to lose, but he is, because not only has he been solid offensively, but he's really solid on the defensive side of the ball as well. And so I'm noticing that since he went down with his injury, that they're on a little bit of a losing streak here. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if they get back at it, but bad week for them other than that 19-run game. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Atlanta Braves. Overall record of 76-55. They're 3-7 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series to the Minnesota Twins and then lost a series to the Milwaukee Brewers. So just not a good week for the Braves. This is kind of typical for them, though, this season. You know, they started off hot, went ice cold, and now then they got back hot again, and now they're ice cold again. So we'll see what happens here. But I will say they did make a trade for Tyler Mahle a couple weeks ago, and so far that trade has really been working out for them. He's pretty much put in work every single game that he's come out for them to pitch. So definitely good to see that the guys you trade for end up working out in the end. But right now the Braves are slumping a bit. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the New York Yankees. Overall record of 74-56. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Baltimore Orioles and took the series over the Toronto Blue Jays. They did lose a couple of guys to injury this week. Ryan Weathers, the starting pitcher, he was put on the injured list yesterday, and then Ryan McMahon was put on the injured list earlier in the week. So there's 2 more guys that they lose. They did get Cody Bellinger back over the weekend, so they definitely need his help. It looks like Giancarlo Stanton's probably going to miss the rest of the season because he actually, you know, he's been out with a calf injury, and it turns out while he was rehabbing, he ended up injuring his other calf. So it's looking like that Stanton's not going to come back, but it's really Judge who needs to get his ass back there. Now, he was out there today taking some, he was out there on the field practicing. But still, we don't know when he's coming back, but Bellinger made his way back. And even so, Yankees are still getting wins. It's just, they just are such a shaky team. But at the same time, like I keep saying, the American League is very weak. And I kind of feel like any team that makes the playoffs pretty much has a shot in the American League. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Chicago White Sox, overall record of 68-62. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the Cubs and took the series over the New York Mets. They actually got their 11th walk-off of the season, which is, I think it's the league lead as well. But they had a crazy series back and forth between the Cubs. And then they also had a crazy series between the Mets as well. They did get the better of the Mets, not the better of the Cubs. But they definitely have been putting in work. A lot of their young guys showing up when they have to. Vargas has been showing up when he has to. This Chicago White Sox team has actually been one of the most consistent teams all season. And they still are tops in their division. And they keep this up. It's looking like they are going to be right back in the playoffs. And then rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings this week of the Boston Red Sox, overall record of 71-59. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Arizona Diamondbacks and the San Francisco Giants. Actually had a back-and-forth series with the San Francisco Giants, but of course, they got the better of the Giants because the Giants suck. But the Red Sox, man, Abreu had a huge walk-off last night in what kind of felt like the Giants were actually going to get the win, and then, of course, they did not. But the Red Sox, though, even though they kind of fell back last week on my top 10, I felt like they were going to be another team that still showed up, even though they were on a little bit of a losing streak, just because I continue to reiterate the American League it's terrible compared to the National League. You look at it, and it's just, oh, National League is stacked compared to the American League. I couldn't even tell you who from the American League is probably the most reliable team other than the Yankees. And it's really just because the Yankees do have a lot of depth on their roster. But at the same time, they just blow it a lot this season. So we'll see what happens. But the Red Sox are still there, and the Red Sox are still surging, and they had another solid week this week. Now, it is football season, y'all. We are a couple weeks out from the beginning of the season. So now it is time for my 2026 NFL season predictions. So today we're going to start with the NFC East and the AFC East teams and just work our way through all the way up leading to who I believe is going to win Super Bowl 61 this year. So let's get right into it. I'm starting with the NFC East because I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, so we got to start with my division here. And finishing in first place in the division this year, I have my Dallas Cowboys. I've got them going 13-4 this year because their offense is stacked. I expect them to be one of the best offenses in the league. As a matter of fact, their defense very much improved. That's what I really like because the offense was great last year. It's just the defense was absolutely atrocious. But this year, you know, we've got Quinnen Williams to start the season. You know, we traded him for him midway through the season last year. So it's not like he could really work his way in. But so it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him. Then, of course, Overshown. He's coming off of a healthy, healthy offseason. And so it's going to be nice to see how he produces in this year. And then just a whole bunch of new guys just stacked in there. Von Miller, of course, I think he's going to bring a nice little veteran presence. But it's just been nice because this Dallas Cowboys offseason has been very quiet. It's been very drama-free, and they've just been actually looking really good. I mean, I know the preseason doesn't say a lot, but I mean, just for the most part, they've actually just been playing really solid football and, looking pretty decent so far. But I think they're actually going to go 13-4 this year and dominate the NFC East. Finishing in second place in the NFC East, I have the Philadelphia Eagles. I have them going 8-9 this year. They were already kind of falling apart last year. Actually, they've been falling apart for a couple years. It's just they've been able to kind of mask it with winning. And then last year, they kind of fell off, and then they ended up trading A.J. Brown in the offseason, which I think really dissipates their wide receivers because now it's just Devontae Smith and everybody else. You know, Devontae Smith, he's an excellent receiver, so I expect him to be good as the number one guy, but it's just everybody else behind him. They have no depth at the wide receiver position, so it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, they were already a very vanilla offense last year, and of course, they still have Saquon Barkley. But he can't make up for what they're losing with A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown did make huge plays for this team offensively. He bailed them out on a lot of plays offensively. And I just kind of feel like this team's going to struggle offensively. Defensively, that's what's probably going to keep them in it for a while. But I kind of feel like they're just going to fall short when it's all said and done and be one of the mid-tier teams of the season and finish 8-9. Then at number finishing in third place in the NFC East, I have the Washington Commanders finishing 7-10. And it's just really because this is just an overall terrible roster. They don't have any depth at the running back position. They have no depth at the wide receiver position. Their offensive line is not very good. So I'm kind of expecting that Daniels is going to be on his back. They're going to be lucky if he doesn't get injured again this year, because that's how his whole season was last year, getting injured. And then they lost a couple of guys on the defensive side of the ball, and I'm just like, they didn't really make any additions in the offseason to make me look at this roster and go, yeah, they're going to be competitive this year. It's probably going to be another long year for Jaden Daniels at the quarterback position. But rounding out the NFC East this year, I have the New York Giants. I have them finishing 3-14. Everything about this team is just pretty much terrible. They have just a horrific roster. I mean, they have a couple of talented guys sprinkled in, just a bunch of shit, basically. But they are really terrible. There is no talent on this team. And even the talented guys, you know, you got Malik Nabers coming off of an injury, and they don't even know if he's going to start the season in the first game or not. And even if he does, is this even going to be a good team? No, I don't think so. I think they're going to be a pretty much terrible team. And I feel like they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league this year, yet again. Then moving on to the AFC East, I feel like this is a very weird division. I feel like it's going to be easy for one team to dominate it simply because I feel like the Dolphins are going to be terrible and the Jets are going to be terrible. And I feel like the Patriots are going to be on that Super Bowl hangover. So finishing it first in the AFC East, I have the Buffalo Bills. I have them going 11-6, even though I really do question the wide receiver position for them. They once again do not have depth at the wide receiver position this year, which I just think is weird because you have such a talented quarterback like Josh Allen, and I kind of feel like you would want a solid receiver out there, at least like a number one guy. I know he's very talented and can make other receivers, mediocre guys, look better than they actually are. But I mean, at the end of the day, once you hit the playoffs, you always need an A.J. Brown type of receiver to make those big plays for you. So I kind of feel like that's going to be a problem for them at some points in the season. However, I will say I feel like a new coach for them this year is definitely going to kind of rejuvenate them a little bit, at least on the offensive side of the ball. But still, like I said, the no talent at the wide receiver position I think is going to bite them in the ass at some point, but not in this division, because I think the division is easily theirs to win, even though the Patriots, you know, they went to the Super Bowl last year. But once I start talking about the Patriots, I'll get into why I don't think they're going to win this division or really even come close to winning this division. But I do have the Bills winning this division at 11-6. Finishing in second, I have the New England Patriots going at 9-8. And really the reason why is Super Bowl hangover. I mean, it just really, that happens all the time. It's almost an inevitable, basically. Even for the Super Bowl winner, sometimes they suffer a hangover and just are not good the next season. I don't think they're going to be the worst team in the league, but I do think they're just going to struggle. I just think they're going to be a mid-tier team. Like I said, I've got them going 9-8. That's about mid-tier team. I think the move for A.J. Brown is a good move for them, and I do think offensively they're going to look pretty solid. But just for me, I just don't really see this team, especially on the defensive side of the ball, because they are having issues as well with Christian Gonzalez, because he's going back and forth with them on a contract dispute right now. Is he even going to remain with the team? I wouldn't be shocked if this is a guy that actually ends up traded at some point. But even so, I just kind of feel like the Patriots are going to be a mid-tier team. And then, of course, there was the off-season drama for Mike Vrabel and his little affair with Diana Russini, who worked for the Athletic. I kind of feel like that's going to be a distraction. I know they're not going to ask him about it every single week and they probably won't ask him about it ever because that's just kind of how they do. We always got to cover up everything. But I just kind of feel like that kind of drama in the offseason does not work out well for you, especially when you just lost the Super Bowl and I expect you to have a hangover. So I just kind of feel like the Patriots are going to be a mid-tier team this year. Finishing in third in the AFC East, I have the Miami Dolphins. I have them going 5-12. They did sign Malik Willis at quarterback in the offseason. I think that's a good move. I mean, he's been a decent quarterback. You know, he started with the Titans, and he wasn't terrible, but he wasn't great. And he goes up to the Packers and backs up Jordan Love. And he comes in and has a few solid games, but do I think this guy's going to be a game changer for this team at this point in time? Absolutely not, because they just really don't have a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball. They don't have any talent at all on the defensive side of the ball. They're a pretty awful team. I really don't know what they were thinking with this offseason other than Malik Willis, because they didn't really make a lot of major moves. But, you know, maybe they can't make any major moves. But regardless, I just don't really see the Dolphins being a competitive team this year. And then finishing in last in the AFC East, I have the New York Jets. I have them coming in at 3-14, just like the Giants. So it's going to be not a good year for you New York Giants and New York Jets fans. They signed Geno Smith in the offseason, and I was like, that didn't work the first time around when y'all drafted him, so you think that's going to work now? I don't think so, especially because Geno Smith completely bombed last season, and there's no talent on this offense for him, and the offensive line is trash, so he's probably going to be running for his life. I mean, he was injured last year, so don't be shocked if he gets injured again just with that offensive line. And then defensively, they're meh. So honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if Aaron Glenn, in his second season as the head coach of the New York Jets, gets fired midseason. I kind of feel like he's going to be one of those midseason firings, because I just don't see the Jets doing a goddamn thing this season other than losing, as they normally do. All right, so those are my predictions for the NFC and AFC East. We will do the NFC West and the AFC West on the next show. And like I said, we will continue this on all the way leading up to my Super Bowl 61 prediction. So enjoy the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.